Psalm 107. So let's turn there if you have your Bible. Right, okay. This is a great psalm and it is exhorting us to do something, and that is to be thankful. Let's read verse 1. It says, very similar to the one we read at the beginning of our service together, it says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, his love endures forever." And in the Message translation, it says this, "Oh, thank God. He is so good." And this is the title of my sermon today. Thank God, he is so good. This psalm was written to celebrate the Jews' return from their exile in Babylon. And we're going to read of different experiences these people went through at various times. But we'll also see that their experiences are common to mankind. And therefore, this psalm is very applicable, as they all are, to us today. So let's read verses 1 to 3. "So give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say this. Those he redeemed from the hand of the foe, those he gathered from the lands, from the east and the west, from the north and the south. Let the redeemed of the Lord say this." What is it that we have to say? Yeah. Yes. "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever." That is what we are called to say. And the psalm goes on to speak of four different situations of people in distress and what they did and how God rescued them. And the message of the psalm is, no matter what calamity, how extreme our calamities get in life, God is able to help us, and we can prove him in those situations to be the ever-present help in time of trouble. And because he is good and his love endures forever, we need to give thanks as these people did. So we need to be a thankful people, don't we? So the first group of people we read about are in verses 4 to 5. And this describes a group of people who are just wandering around in the desert. And it says, "Some wandered in desert wastelands," verse 4, "finding no way to a city where they could settle. They were hungry and thirsty, and their lives ebbed away." Lost and bewildered, this group of people that we're talking about. They were lost and bewildered. They could find no fixed road to follow. They had nowhere to rest or settle. They were hungry. They were thirsty. They were exhausted. They were desperate, and their lives were ebbing away. And that is such a perfect description of some people's lives today, isn't it? Lost in life, no direction, don't know where they're going, desperate, with no hope. Hungry and thirsty for something they just don't know how to find, and their lives are ebbing away. And in verse 6a, we see what happened to them. Verse 6 says, "They cried out to the Lord in their trouble." And this is a key phrase in this psalm. They cried out to the Lord in their trouble. What is the first thing you do in trouble? What is it, you know? Is it falling on your knees before God? They cried out to God in their trouble. And second half of that verse says, "And he delivered them from their distress. I love that verse. God brought them direction and he led them to a place where they could settle. He brought them hope and destiny. And that is what God is still doing in people's lives today as they cry out to him. When we trust in God, when we put our lives in his hands, he leads us along right paths and he walks through life with us. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And he said in Matthew, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy burdened, I will give you rest." And in verse 9 of our psalm here, it says, "He satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things." I think most of us probably in the room would realise that material stuff and food can only partially satisfy the needs in our lives, but true satisfaction in life is about finding Jesus. Prince Charles once said, "There remains deep in the soul a persistent and unconscious anxiety that something is missing, some ingredient that makes worth life worth living." And Princess Diana, she once said, she spoke of an overwhelming sense of loss and isolation that undermines many people's efforts to survive and cope with the complexities of modern life. They know something is missing. And there was a well-known journalist called Bernard Levin. I don't know if you've ever heard of him, but he said, "Countries like ours are full of people who have all the material comforts they desire, together with such non-material blessings such as a happy family, and yet they lead lives of quiet and at times noisy desperation, understanding nothing but the fact that there is a hole inside of them, and that however much food and drink they pour into it, however many motor cars and television sets they stuff it with, however many well-balanced children and loyal friends they parade around the edges of it, it aches." People in the world recognise that there's a hole inside. However they want to express it, there's something missing, no matter how much they have. And Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will be never thirsty." So Jesus is the one who satisfies us. And as Christians, Jesus needs to be the one who satisfies us, you know. And we need to eat of him. We need to take of him into our lives. We need to draw on him. We need to drink of him, because he's the one who satisfies our inner being. Without him, there's a void. Verse 6, "They cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them." And then what was the response of this group of people to be in verse 8? "Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for men." These people cried out to God. And the psalmist says the reasonable response when we experience God in our lives is to give thanks to God, because he is good and his love endures forever. The next couple of verses are talking about people in prison. And whether it means literally or not, the outcome is the same. Verse 10. "Some sat in darkness and the deepest gloom, prisoners suffering in iron chains, for they had rebelled against the words of God and despised the counsel of the Most High." We're not told of exact circumstances or instances here, but the psalmist is saying that some people end up in darkness and deep gloom, and they're like prisoners chained up because they rebel against God and choose not to obey and listen to him. And there are lots of people today who live in great darkness and in deepest gloom for lots of different reasons, and we're so aware of it in this area. And there are lots of people, even Christian people today, who live as prisoners. They're kind of like feel chained up and aren't able to get free from all sorts of things. But the great news of the gospel is that Jesus came to rescue us. Jesus came to unchain us, if you like. Jesus came to set us free. So if there are things in our lives where we feel just so tied up and bound, Jesus does want to rescue us from that. there is hope in him. Verse 13, it says, and they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He brought them out of darkness and the deepest gloom and broke away their chains. Jesus is powerful. Jesus can break away chains in our lives and the chains off people's lives. And he can bring people out of the darkness, out of the gloom, out of desperation into his wonderful light. And what was their response in verse 15? Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for men, for he breaks down gates of bronze and cuts through bars of iron. I love that verse because what it says is there are impossible situations, but nothing is impossible for God. He makes things possible. And so whatever situation we face, we need to push into God. We need to pray to God. We need to seek God that he will break through in the different situations in our lives. And these people found him to be the answer, and he did break through. And the response is, let's give thanks to him for what he has done. The third group of people are really distressed people, a group of peoples whose rebellion and sin had become so severe that they had become sick and distressed. Verse 17, some became fools through their rebellious ways and suffered affliction because of their iniquities. They loathed all food and drew near the gates of death. Again, we're not given any details, but whatever they'd done, they had deteriorated to such a point that they couldn't eat anymore and they were at the brink of dying. And then we come to our key phrase. And those group of people, it says, they cried to the Lord in their trouble and he saved them from their distress. It's a great psalm of hope. Because it's just saying to us, people in distress called out to God and he heard their cry and he answered their prayer. And so it's saying to us, you know, when we're in distress, when we're in times of great trial and hardship, this is what we need to do. And it tells us that when they cried out to him, he saved them from their distress. Verse 20, I love it. He sent forth his word and he healed them and he rescued them from the grave. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for men. Verse 22, and it says, let them sacrifice thank offerings and tell of his works with songs of joy. And the next few verses are about people in danger at sea. Verse 23. Others went out on the sea in ships. They were merchants on the mighty waters. They saw the works of the Lord, his wonderful deeds in the deep. For he spoke and stirred up a tempest that lifted high the waves. They mounted up to the heavens and went down to the depths. And in their peril, their courage melted away. How many of us feel like that sometimes in the storms of life, you know? And it says, they reeled and they staggered like drunken men. They were at their wits' end. I'm really glad that little phrase is in the Bible. At their wits' end. Sometimes we feel like we're at our wits' end, don't we? Because the things we're in, storms that we're in, just feel at our wits' end. I'm glad that phrase is in the Bible. Because it means we're all the same. We're all the same in hard situations. But what did they do when they were at their wits' end? Yeah. They cried out to the Lord. That's the bottom line, isn't it, for us as Christians? You know, they'd seen God doing amazing things in the sea. They probably saw amazing sea creatures. They saw the power of the waves. The boat went up in the waves. The boats came down in the waves. And the men were scared. They were reeling to and fro from the ship, making them all giddy, staggering like drunken men, not knowing what to do. John Newton became a Christian at sea. Did you know that? He was in a terrible storm, and he recognized God. And he was in that storm, and he recognized that he was such a terrible sinner. And that's why he wrote that hymn, Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound, saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. He was in the middle of a storm when he wrote that hymn. And I just think, you know, this is such a picture of the storms of life. They do throw people to and fro. They make them scared and fearful. They make them giddy, feeling at their wit's end. And then they cried out to the Lord, verse 28, in their trouble, and he brought them out of their distress. He stilled the storm to a whisper. The waves of the sea were hushed, and they were glad when it grew calm, and he guided them to their desired haven. And their response, let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for men. And the psalmist finishes the psalm with a really important verse, verse 43. And it says this. Whoever is wise, let him heed these things and consider the great love of God. In all of these situations, consider that God came to the rescue and delivered the people from distress. He satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. He brought them out of darkness and the deepest gloom, and he broke away their chains. Verse 16, he breaks down bars of bronze, gates of bronze, and cuts through bars of iron. Verse 20, he sent forth his word, and he healed them, and he rescued them from the grave. And verse 29, he stilled the storm to a whisper. The waves of the sea were hushed. Maybe you're in one of these situations today. Maybe perhaps you feel like you're in a desert place. Maybe you're feeling hungry and thirsty for something missing in your life. Jesus is the one who fills the void and satisfies us. Maybe you feel you're in a prison, all bound up by something in your life that you can't get free from, but you want to be free from. Jesus is our rescuer. We've just sung it. Jesus wants to set us free from the things in our lives that bind us. Or maybe you're distressed and you're unwell. We've been praying for the sick today. Jesus can speak a word. Or maybe you're caught up in the storms of life and you can't see any way out. Jesus is the one who's in the boat with you, and he will see you safe to the other side. Let's read Isaiah 46. I love this verse. Isaiah 46 and verse 4, and it says, even to your old age and grey hairs, I am he who will sustain you. I have made you, and I will carry you. I will sustain you, and I will rescue you. What amazing things that God says. He sustains us, he carries us, he rescues us. In all of these scenarios, should we not return praise to God for his great love and goodness? His love never runs out. I've been really challenged. I don't know how many of you got one of these little Bibles from the guy who came from Open Doors. It's brilliant. It really is brilliant. And I've been challenged reading the short stories in this pocket Bible about people who are being persecuted for their faith, and by the fact that this verse actually would be the declaration of many of them. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, because his love endures forever. And in their eyes, you know, hardships, trials, persecution, do not mean that God is not good. It doesn't mean that he's not loving and caring. It's quite hard for us to get our head around it. Many Christians meet in secret, and if they get caught, they would face years in prison. But still, they would say, God is good. In times of desperation, pain, and loneliness, these people experience God saying to them, I am here. I am for you. I am with you. And in the face of interrogation, one lady said, we feel fear, but at the same time, we feel ourselves in God's hands. And I think unless we've experienced that, we won't understand it. It's like, for me, I suppose the nearest I can come is experiencing grief, deep, deep grief, but at the same time, experiencing the peace of God. That's the only way I can explain it. And I think this is the same for these people. They are fearful, but at the same time, they feel themselves in God's hand. And they would say this, God is good all the time. And in such places and at such times, God gives them joy and peace. And he does miraculous things in their lives. One person said, we don't want to face suffering, insults or hardships, but it is in precisely these moments that God is at work in our lives. His strength shines through our weakness because we rely on him. And there, friends, is the key. We rely on him. In closing, I'd like to read to you Romans 8:38 in the New Living Translation, as it draws together all we've been thinking about today. It says this, I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from his love. Death can't and life can't. The angels can't and the demons can't. Isn't that great? Our fears for today, our worries about tomorrow, and even the powers of hell can't keep God's love away. Whether we are high above the sky or in the deepest ocean, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. What a brilliant security we have. We are secure in the love of God. All our fears and our worries, all our problems will never be able to separate us from his love. So, thank God, he is so good. And we cannot go today without singing my most favourite song at this moment in time.